man, I do want to take the opportunity to give honor to Pastor Chandler and his family as they're out of town today. Amen. I do not envy him today. Amen. And his schedule. He overbooked himself. He'll be preaching a total of 3 times today. Amen. So if you don't got nothing else to pray for Pastor Chandler today. That his voice will hold out. Amen. I give honor to my wife and my family. So thankful that my wife had the opportunity to go and be a part of NAYC. It's been a long time. I would not want to count the number of NAYCs along Sister Gera, how many I've been to. Amen. But when I was a kid, there wasn't just nearly as many people. It was only 12 or 14,000 that would go, and never 37 or close to 40. We're starting to get into the age of the churches of Asia Minor. Can you imagine going to that kind of service every week? Man, they estimate Corinth was 55,000 people. Imagine going to service like that every week. Hey. Amen. 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 Moving very quickly, I will not take long today. And I do just want to, I want to help somebody today. Amen. If you would turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter number 20. We're going to read that entire chapter, but don't have no fear. It's only 9 verses. Amen. Amen. I do want to preach what's on my heart. Amen. A few weeks ago, Pastor Chandler was preaching about some Old Testament things, and he glanced over what I'm going to talk about today, just briefly, very, very briefly. And but it's something about it just rung in my head. Oh, wait a second. And so it's when things like that happen, if you've ever been a student of the Word of God, when things like that happen, you write it down and study it later. You write it down and study it later, and that's exactly what I did. And so I want to just touch base on that for a few minutes today. Amen. Joshua chapter 20, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, "The Lord spake also unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for the cities, or for you, cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto thee by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee into one of these cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer." Everybody say, the sinner. "They shall not deliver the slayer into his hand, because he has smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time. He shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and unto the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer, the sinner, return and come into his own city, and unto his own house, and into the city whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim." And I'm not even going to attempt it, but it looks like Kiriath-Arba, which is in Hebron, amen, amen, so we'll just say Hebron, hallelujah, in the mountain of Judah. "And on the other side of Jordan by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. And these cities were appointed for all the children of Israel, for the stranger that sojourneth among them, and for and that whosoever killeth any person unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation." That sounds very full of law and hard to grasp. And how can you take something spiritual for today out of an Old Testament law? And I believe that God types and shadows things for us in the Old Testament. Amen. So we're going to preach today about running for the refuge. Running for the refuge. Amen. If you put your Bibles down and ask God to help us one more time, I believe the Lord wants to talk to us today. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, for your Spirit. We thank you, God, for your power and for your anointing. Thank you, God, for your glory, God, already put on display. God, continue your outpouring today. Move upon your people, God, and give us hope, God. Give us, God, refuge from the adversary today. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 I do want to just go move quickly. But as we read this passage of Scripture, we learn that God, amen, has always had a plan for grace. Before grace was even thought up, before the word was ever formed on the lips of man, before the breath that moves across the, amen, vocal cords of mankind ever said the word grace, God had a plan for it. God grants us glimpses of his ultimate solution. Before the days of his death, burial, and resurrection, the Word of God offers glimmers of hope in a dark world, amen. When we're bound up by the law of God, God would show minute spots where his glory is put on display of what is to come for his love of mankind. We see the glimmers of his grand design and his love and his mercy towards mankind. We see it in the form of grace before grace was even available. There is now no doubt that God, in fact, loves his creation and has been desperately trying to reconnect with man since the very beginning. We know that Genesis, amen, alludes in the first few chapters to the creation of the earth and then creation of God's masterpiece, mankind. We learn that mankind slides down the slippery slope of sin and that God says, in the day that you eat of the fruit, you shall surely die. Amen. We know that the biblical definition of death is separation. And so there takes on this separation between God and man. And ever since, amen, the first few chapters of Genesis, God has been attempting, try as he might, to reconnect with mankind. He longs for us to be close to him. He desires for us to be intertwined with us in fellowship. It is his divine will for us to be in constant communication and constant contact with him. Amen. He doesn't desire to be separated from us. Amen. Hell was never a part of the early designs of God's creation. Amen. It's only by the sinful nature of man. However, there has been that separation from man since very nearly the beginning. And it's not any fault of God, it's fault of ours. Mankind fell early in the game of perfection. We lost our rightful place early on. It's God's design for us to win the game. But we will never win the game without his help. Amen. God walks through the garden looking for Adam and Eve and only to discover them hiding amongst the shrub and crudely made and insufficient clothing. It is then that we see for the very first time the shedding of blood almost immediately after he sees them, amen, in clothes sewn out of fig leaves. He rips the coats from off of a lamb and it's the shedding of blood that covers us. We see God's design at the earliest points. Happens in Hebrews 9:22. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. So we begin to see God's plan foreshadowed for mankind. Amen. There is no blood in the entire world that is shed that there is not an account given to God for it. Amen. We learn in the next few chapters how Cain killed his brother Abel, and God tells Cain, "Your brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." Amen. If you've never heard the sermon by Bishop Dan Cox, "Blood Has a Voice," I recommend you ask our sound guys and get a hold of that copy of that amazing sermon, "Blood Has a Voice." Amen. This is the first murder recorded in history, and we know that Cain acted purely out of malice, and so therefore there was no opportunity to talk his way out of it. He could not say that it was accidental or negligent on his behalf. It wasn't vehicular manslaughter by running him over with a horse and chariot. Amen. And as such, his malice is rewarded with a curse, and God sends him from his presence. That's one of the most scary scriptures in the entire Bible, and says, and God sent Cain away from his presence. God is desperately trying to reconnect with mankind, and yet God cuts the connection to a man. How scary it must be. And so we see that God requires justice for blood that was spilt. Exodus chapter 21 even gives credence for the justice of spilt blood. Amen. If you'll throw that up for me, Tristan. He that smiteth a man so that he die shall surely be put to death. So we see this very early platform in Exodus 21 that if you kill a man, you're going to die. Blood for blood. You have to give an account for blood spilt. Amen. Go ahead, Tristan. And if any mischief follow, then there shall give life for life. An eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, and stripe for stripe. God requires equal penance based on what we did wrong. Amen. There is no gray areas. It's very clear what God's intentions were should you mess up and sin against another man, taking his life. It was giving a green light for those around the murdered victim to avenge the death upon the heads of their killers. He's giving the green light. He's allowing them the opportunity to avenge the death of the loved one who's now gone, who was killed, taken too soon. Many times we read in the Old Testament where a person was killed or done wrong, and it happened almost immediately that some hot-headed family member would chase down the murderer and kill him back in return. There was no provision in the beginning for those that would be killed by accident. Death was repaid only in death. That is until Numbers chapter 35. And here we begin to see the love of God put on display in the midst of some of life's most challenging situations. When a man might face certain death for his trespasses, God glimpses us an opportunity to see grace. Speak unto the children of them and say unto them, when you come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, that you shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any man at unawares. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not, and that he stand before the congregation in judgment. And these are the cities which ye shall give, six cities shall have for refuge. You shall give three cities on the side of Jordan, and three cities give on that in the land of Canaan, which shall be for cities of refuge. Amen. Cities of refuge. What does that mean? How can it be that cities would be given for refuge for mankind? Amen. If you were to be chopping down a tree and the axe head fly off and kill the man standing next to it, the Bible says that if you kill a man, you must be killed. God is now allowing grace for those situations at which you've fallen and you didn't recognize it was coming. Same goes with sin. Amen. How many times have you seen sinners, amen, that intentionally sin? They know it's wrong. Their conscience is not so seared that they can't tell the difference, and yet they go out to it. Man, those generally end up in prison. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. There are the situations with sin, amen, at which we fall into it and we don't even mean to, whether it's an instant angry reaction or if it's a one of those thoughts that comes through our mind over seeing, amen, a person in the world and we lust after them, whatever the case may be, those instances that are coming around us that we don't see coming. It's the things that are hiding around the next bend that we can't avoid. Amen, amen. By the strength of our own flesh. It's the things hiding in the shrubs to entrap us when we get up to it. Those are the things that I'm the most concerned about. And for that, I genuinely am thankful for the grace of God and a city of refuge. Amen. I'm thankful for the opportunity to run to a city of refuge before the Avenger of Blood catches up with me. Now, all of this is a type and shadow of that sinful nature of mankind. Sin happens many ways. Like I said, I'm not giving you a license to sin today. I'm not saying go out and do what you will. Amen. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying if you get into trouble, you better know where the next city of refuge is. Amen. Other times, it just by accident and the consequences of our actions, man, we've got nowhere to run and nowhere to hide until grace and a city of refuge. Amen. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the refuge of the Lord. I want to talk about God providing refuge for those who have no place to go. Amen. That the drugs didn't satisfy, and the drink didn't satisfy, and the lustful life didn't satisfy. Amen. And all those things that we seek out in this world, the money was never enough. The cars were never faster enough. I'm talking about when you find yourself in life with nowhere left to go. And the Avenger of Blood is hot on your tail. Life is creeping up behind you. I want a city of refuge. God provides refuge for those, amen, who are in trouble. He provides refuge for those, amen, who are spiritually negligent with their lives from time to time. The same was afforded to men who had killed in happenstance, not from purpose or anger, is afforded to us. We're given the opportunity of refuge. But today we don't have cities of refuge. The walls of Hebron have since fallen down and Bezer is gone by the wayside. Ramoth Gilead has turned to a pile of dust and the walls fell flat long ago. So where is man to go? Where is our city of refuge? Amen. What things about the city of refuge, amen, shadow themselves into our current spiritual life? What kind of marks do these cities leave upon mankind to help us reach the next level and to get out of our situation? Amen. I want to talk about a few points for the cities of refuge, amen, that popped out at me when we studied. Number one, God appointed the cities of refuge. God appointed the cities of refuge. This is not some great political brain thrust. This is not just happenstance because a couple of philosophers thought we ought to make a safe haven for people to go. God himself designed the cities of refuge. We are given that glimpse of grace before grace was available, and we see God's ultimate plan to combat the sinful nature of mankind by providing refuge. The cities of refuge would have given, amen, if they were designed by men, would have given false hope that religion can save you and philosophy can help you understand. But being the savior of mankind, the creation of these cities of refuge framed for us the image of just how much he loves us. His heart has always been leaning towards mankind, even in the midst of our separation and the depth of our disparity. Amen, amen. As we're living this life and desperately far from God, his heart still leans towards mankind and he always provides a way out. God's word. Number two, God's word announced these cities. These cities are named in the word of God. Numbers 35 commanded their creation and their approximate locale. They were strategically placed. It's not by accident. Joshua 20 records their creation and the names specifically and their inability to be changed. No one could change the cities of refuge. No one got to decide who came in or who went out of the cities of refuge. There were many cities that were larger and more prominent, but none of them could shelter the sinner. Just the same way that there are many religions in this world who are larger and more prominent with a louder voice, but none of them can shelter the sinner. Christ alone can shelter the sinner. There are many religions that are large, even great political and philosophical gatherings, amen, that are large. But only the refuge of Christ can save man from the blood avenger. Neither is there salvation in any other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. There is nothing outside of the cities of refuge. There is no hope outside the cities of refuge. Number three, anyone could access these cities. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter where you're from. You don't even have to be a Christian. You don't have to be an Israelite. You don't have to be even from this country. God affords to you the city of refuge. It was certainly centrally placed and easily accessed from anywhere in the kingdom was never more than a day's travel. From anywhere in the country of Israel, never more than a day's travel. From Jewish literature, we can learn some additional details about the cities of refuge. First, the roads were to be repaired every spring after the rains. And again, after the bad weather of winter had gone, they would work on the roads again. They were wide and well smoothed. Man, if you got to an area that had lots of ravines or washout, bridges were often built to allow the person to run straight to the city. At every intersection of the roads leading to the cities, there were signs that stated refuge, miklat in the Israeli tongue, miklat and an arrow pointing towards the city. And they were to be made a certain size and a specific dimension, because when you're running, you can't take time to look at it with a microscope. How do I be saved? And that's why it takes a voice of a church, it takes a voice of a preacher to say, you've got to be saved. Amen. It takes this loud voice. It takes a big sign that's easily read. From Jewish literature, we can also learn, amen, that the signs were pointed in that direction, and oftentimes there were runners stationed at the crossroad, men who were fresh and weren't tired. They could run to the city to make sure the elders were present at the gate. The cities of refuge were available to all. To the Israelite and to the stranger, to the sojourner, the traveler, the person who's far from home. Everyone had access to the city of refuge, and so it is with the church. I'm so thankful that we have access. I'm so thankful that my financial position doesn't limit my access. I'm so thankful my civic position in the community does not limit my access. I'm thankful, amen, my background and the sin I've committed doesn't limit my access. I'm thankful, amen, that there are situations that don't prevent me, amen, that by man's mind should. I need a city of refuge. John 3:16, we all know it very well. It's a simple scripture, but it makes a lot of sense when you talk about everyone having access. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, what a blanket refuge term. How much more blanket can you get than that? Whosoever means you. Whosoever means you. Whosoever means me. Whosoever means the crackhead on the corner. Whosoever means the prostitute who's hanging out down in the alley. Whosoever means the lawyer or the judge or the doctor who drives by the building every day. Whosoever doesn't limit God. The city of refuge is always to be opened. If you do a little more non-biblical study from history books, you'll also find out that these cities of refuge, the gates of these cities were always open and never locked, which in that day was unheard of. But it was a chance worth taking. Because imagine a man who just committed a murder accidentally, running for the refuge, and a man who is hot-headed to judge him and kill him with a sword drawn running right behind him. And the runner get to the gate, and it be locked. Imagine the fear as he would pound on the gate, begging for entrance, and be killed standing at the door. This is extremely important for our church to be welcoming. It's extremely important for our church to be welcoming. Because you don't know what they're running from. And you don't know how close death really is. And I remember needing a city of refuge myself once. I remember needing a city of refuge so desperate. I'd do anything to get through the door. Amen. The doors were never locked. The gates were always open. These historical sources also tell us that the refuge cities were well stocked with food. It was a completely sufficient refuge, not only providing legal protection, but also meeting a man's physical needs once inside. Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We need the word of God to help those that need refuge. Amen. The cities were completely adequate for the needs of man. And the offender was remained inside was always safe. But if you left the city of refuge, there was no hope. The avenger of blood could wait on you indefinitely. Amen. And as long as the high priest was alive, amen, that offender could stay within the city. Which leads me to believe that there had to be some scary times with somebody hiding out in the city of refuge and the high priest pass away in the middle of the night. What leaves us any hope at that point if the high priest is gone? Imagine a city of refuge without a man of God. Imagine a city of refuge without someone to divide and to speak to the congregation on our behalf. To divide the truth from the lie and get to the source of our sin. Hebrews chapter 6, please. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entered into that within the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. We live within a city where the high priest will never pass away. Hebrews 7, please. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. There is no ending of the refuge in Christ. There is no ending to the refuge available from the Savior that we serve. There is no ending, amen, to the times that I can run to the altar and fling myself at the horns of it and beg for refuge. There's no ending to the amount of times, amen, that I can come to Him and say, Lord, amen, I just want to be with You. I just want to be with You. Amen. As the musicians come, I told you I wouldn't take long, and I've skipped a bunch, and I hope that you understand my heart today about being God being the center of our refuge, the city, amen, the well-provided place, amen, the place that we can run to and look to God and say, God, I need Your help. I've slipped up. It's been a rough week. You don't know what I dealt with, amen. The enemy tried his best to trap me, but God, I need Your help. God, I just need one more time, a time of refuge. And that's where we find ourselves most often. NAYC is great, and we have a great time, and everybody comes back amped up. I've been there, I've done that, but Monday's coming. Monday's coming. And the woes of the work week by Wednesday will be heavy. School's getting ready to start. You're going to have to go back into the lion's den again. See all manner of things hiding down the hallways of your high school. The horror stories that come, the things they see. I need a refuge. You need a refuge. Amen. If you're running around outside the church and you're trying your best not to be in the refuge, you're at the mercy of the Avenger of Blood at any time. Let him find you outside those walls, and you won't want to find out what's coming. I remember a time I left out of the city of refuge. It's amazing how fast the Avenger of Blood can track you down. It's amazing how fast he can find you in a time of necessity to be at the horns of that altar. It's amazing how fast he can track you down. If you would, let's stand today. Amen. If you need a city of refuge, I beg you come. Amen. If you're looking for a city of refuge, if you're looking for a savior of refuge, I bid you come today. God is looking to give refuge to the hearts that are hurting today, to the hungry hearts, amen, that are looking throughout the world for refuge. God, I need a reprieve. The world's on my tail. I need a reprieve from your city of refuge, God. I need help. I desperately need help today, God. Oh, would you come today? Lord, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Amen. As they sing, I just want you to find a place of worship today. Find a place and seek the face of God. Seek that city of refuge. Amen. We're desperately needing you, Lord, today, God. We desperately need you, Lord, today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Man, what a beautiful presence of the Lord in this house today. Amen. We appreciate your worship. Song service, the preaching, responding to God at an altar, God, we appreciate the presence of God. Amen. Be mindful of those that are still praying. Amen. I encourage you to fellowship. Just take it outside. Amen. There are those that are seeking after God still, and we want to let God do that. Amen. Don't forget about this coming Wednesday, 7 o'clock service. Amen. This coming Saturday at 5 o'clock will be corporate prayer. Amen. And then next Sunday, amen, Brother Barber will be with us for the back-to-school service. Amen. You don't want to miss that 10 a.m. next Sunday. Amen. Yeah, Saturday, corporate prayer at 5. Yes. And make sure you're here for that. If you can be, it's going to be a great time. Amen. Like I said, shake somebody's hand, hug their neck, love them. Man, go to lunch, but just do it out there, please. Amen. I think that's okay, right? Amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you soon.